What happens to the bodies of babies killed by abortion? Find out next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. I'm joined by our pastoral associate, Reverend Rusty Thomas from Waco, Texas, and Janet Morana, our associate director. Good to be with you both.
Reported for duty, sir.
All right. Let's talk about the baby funerals that we have been privileged to organize, participate in, and that we look forward to doing more of. You know, many people ask the question of what happens to the bodies of these aborted babies, and as we know, for a long time, they were just thrown in dumpsters, and that's how we got some of the babies that we've buried over the years. A lot of times, they're incinerated. They're literally sometimes just flushed down the drain. Mm-hmm. And other times, they're ground up or just thrown out with the medical waste.
Right.
Or given to research labs for body parts. But the bottom line that we want to talk about in this program is this, that sometimes we end up obtaining these bodies. And the proper thing to do then is to honor, at least in death, what these babies did not receive in life. Their dignity was trampled down, their lives were robbed from them, and their bodies were thrown out in the trash. If we can get these bodies and honor them with a proper Christian burial and give people the opportunity to see them and to reverence them, then at least we're making up in some small way for the indignity that has been done to them by abortion.
Well, I tell you, even when people see, you know, the graphic signs and the little children come up, and, mm-hmm. you know, my children were raised with this. They've never had nightmares. They've never been traumatized because they see their father, their mother, you know, the church, Christians trying to defend that life. You know, when a child's mind is traumatized is when what they instinctively know to be true. Like you're saying, by this evidence, they know A, it's a baby, and B, the baby's broken. And I mean, I've literally heard those statements. Who broke the baby?
Right.
Who broke the baby? And as long as we're honest and affirm what their little conscience knows to be true, they will not be traumatized by it. It will affirm their sanity and their reason. But when you, you know, come up with your pro-choice rhetoric, you make excuses for it. You try to justify this evil. Yes, their souls will be traumatized.
Well, that's what twists the mind, to look at this evil and say somehow this is okay.
Yes.
That's what traumatizes and what twists the mind is when you sit back and you don't do anything about this. The normal, healthy human response is to see these bodies that we're talking about and to say, hey, we've got to do something. And you stand up and you start defending these lives.
Is there not a cause, Father Frank?
Exactly.
And, throughout the nation, we've held events all over the nation. And probably the most poignant part of an event are these memorial services. Mm-hmm. And Father Frank, I mean, we afford these children what every other human being should be afforded. You know, hearses, pallbearers.
Yes.
You know, we have, of course, the Scots come out with their bagpipes,
right.
And they play Amazing Grace, and, you know, we're dressed up. You know, we put the little baby in a coffin, and we give people flowers.
Yes.
And then we have a line, and slowly but surely they go through that line, and they lay the flower down, and they take that moment to look face to face, you know, with this precious child.
Yeah.
And boy, the brokenness of heart,
yes.
You know, the weeping, the tears, you know, and this is important for us, Father Frank.
Sure.
I mean, this is a great sin. This is a great evil. And it should touch our hearts. It should break us, our hearts. It should bring us to tears.
Yes.
Over what has been committed.
Yes. You know, the biggest, longest funeral procession I ever participated in was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, when our friend Monica Miller organized the funeral for 9 of these babies. Oh, my goodness. It was just unforgettable. You know, we're going to take a little break. And then, friends, when we come back from this break, we're going to introduce to you a clip from the funeral of one of these babies. And we're going to talk about it a little bit more. So please stay with us here on Gospel of Life.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
Not until people saw images of children in coal mines did they enact child labor laws. Not until people saw images of human torture did they rise up against slavery. And now, after seeing these images, what will you do? Priests for Life. Because America will never reject abortion unless America sees abortion. Call now to learn how you can help.
Welcome back. We're talking about the funerals of aborted babies. And Rusty and Janet, we're going to go now to a clip. And just to give a little background, this took place, what we're about to see, in Holy Week of 2007 at the Seminary of Holy Apostles in Cromwell, Connecticut, in front of a group of men preparing for the ministry. And baby Abel was there. Abel, the first human being who was ever murdered. His blood fell into the ground, and Scripture says it cried out to God from the ground. And thank God the blood of Jesus speaks even more eloquently, because that's the blood that cries out for our forgiveness and healing. But we're going to look at this clip now, and we'll talk a little bit more about the impact, the necessity of showing these babies and the impact it has. So friends, let's watch this clip together.
Day after day, throughout this nation and throughout the world, people speak, write, debate, vote on the contentious issue of abortion. And yet for most people, this is no more than a word. For most people, this is no more than a concept. And very often the concept they have when they hear the word bears almost no resemblance to the horrifying reality. Where did this child come from? Baby Abel was aborted and sent to a pathology lab. The pathologist who received Abel, at that time the child had no name, decided to call a pro-life activist. Something must have touched his conscience. Something must have made this person say, at least one of these babies deserves proper treatment, at least after death. In that passage from Deuteronomy 21, strange passage when you think about it, because God asked the people to ask forgiveness for a sin that they didn't commit. You find somebody out in the open country who's been killed, get the priests. Measure the distance to the closest city and gather the priests and the people and say this prayer. Lord, our hands did not shed this blood, our eyes did not see this deed. Forgive, O Lord, the guilt of innocent blood. Now, why did these people have to ask forgiveness for something that they're saying in that very prayer they didn't do, and they don't know who did it? Very simple reason. We all live on the land. And when innocent blood falls to the ground, everyone on the land is implicated in that. Everyone. The blood of Abel fell into the ground. Scripture says the earth swallowed it up. But Abel, though dead, yet speaks. And God heard the voice of that blood, which in turn caused him to ask Cain, where is your brother? To hear God say, my people, do justice. Wash yourselves clean. Put away your misdeeds from before my eyes. Cease doing evil. What evil, O Lord? We haven't killed anybody. Cease doing evil by your silence. Cease doing evil by giving in to your fears, your cowardice. Cease doing evil by continuing to ask the question, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? Will I be considered a fanatic? Will I be alienated, made fun of, criticized perhaps by my own pastor or by my own bishop or by who knows who, whose support and whose esteem and whose affirmation and whose favor I need? What's going to happen to me? The politician asks. What kind of votes am I going to lose? What's going to happen to me? The businessman asks. What kind of deals am I going to lose? What kind of money am I going to lose? What's going to happen to me? We all ask in a million different ways. We try to talk about abortion in church and people say it's too political. We try to talk about it in the political realm. They say it's too religious. We start to talk about it in the business world. It's too disruptive. In the media, it's too disturbing. Out in the public, it's going to disturb little children. In social settings, it's impolite. If abortion is wrong, where do we go to say so? Brothers and sisters, the answer is we say so in each and every one of those arenas over and over again because we stop asking the question, what's going to happen to me? And we start asking what the Samaritan asked. We reverse the question and we say, if I don't stop to help this man, what's going to happen to him? If I don't speak up and act vigorously and decisively and self-sacrificially for this child, what's going to happen to him? Let the voice speak. Let the blood stir your conscience. Let the blood of Jesus wash out the last tinge of doubt and of fear. There is no simple way to bring an end to this disaster. There's no simple way. There's no easy way. There's no comfortable way. We have to be crucified. There's simply no other way. And yet, isn't that the very meaning of life and of these holy days? It is precisely in giving ourselves away, even unto death, that we live.
Well, that was powerful, I can tell you, for everybody involved in that. And we've all seen the power of this. Rusty, don't we have a biblical obligation to show people the bodies of these babies? And how do we respond? You know, the pro-abortion people are so twisted, absolutely twisted in their mentality. They actually have the audacity to say to us that we're exploiting these children when we show these bodies, when we display these bodies and have these services. They have the audacity to say to us, they who stand behind the killing of these children, they have the audacity to say to us that we're exploiting them.
Well, Father Frank, the Bible says to those that are defiled, there is nothing pure. You know, and when you're a skeptic, you know, you deny the existence of God, you're never going to highly prize life.
Right.
You know, you're always going to cheapen life. You cheapen God, we cheapen ourselves. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And so if you're a skeptic, you're going to ascribe cynical motivation to everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you have been to these funerals and if you have seen how God's people respond to these little children whose lives have been robbed from them by this sin and by this crime. No, Father Frank, it is genuine. It is authentic. It is truly broken hearts. These are real tears. It's not contrived. It's not artificially produced. And in a sense, you know, allowing us the opportunity to grieve and to mourn. We got to remember when it comes to abortion, our nation doesn't allow for it, Father Frank. This is supposed to be a right that we celebrate. What business do you have grieving and mourning a right?
Yeah, exactly. They don't allow the mourning to take place. And you've seen the aborted women coming to
women who've experienced abortion. Yeah. I've seen them come to these services.
Exactly.
And it gives them that moment of, you know, when they finally gotten to that place where they regret the abortion, to grieve what they've done, to grieve the loss of that child. And for the people who are on the pro-choice side, they've already said that this baby is a clump of cells to be discarded. The abortion mill is thrown it as off as medical waste. What you've just seen, the viewers, is that this baby was given a proper funeral a dignified funeral, allowed people to mourn that child, and then a proper burial. Mm-hmm. It's better than ending up in a landfill as medical waste. I mean, it's terrible.
Exactly. And also, at these funerals, we do allow post-abortive women to stand up and to share their testimony. And you know what? There is an identification. There's a connection between that post-abortive mom and the child that she has lost through abortion with that little baby in that coffin. And it is powerful. It is powerful. And God does use that in that woman's life, you know, to bring some kind of resolve, you know, some kind of closure in her life. I mean, it will never, you know, permanently go away, but it's there. But it's like a catharsis. There's a ministry of catharsis there. And I'm telling you, when they break, man, even the pro-aborts, we've had the pro-aborts, you know, come through the line too and said, listen, because you know how they are. They scream. They're a lot of times very vile and blasphemous. But I've seen them, Father Frank, when it came to that baby, mm-hmm. all of a sudden disregard that kind of behavior and actually take the time to absorb.
You know, we're gonna go a little bit longer than usual in this particular program because I want you to tell us a story. You were involved from the early days in rescue activities, which I believe are coming back, where people are actually going to be blockading the doorways to abortion facilities. And tell us about how the people were recruited the night before. Some were going to go and put their own bodies between the bodies of these babies and the instruments of death. Tell us what happened.
Well, Father Frank, we would have rallies and, you know, and different preachers, including myself, we would get up and challenge them to their biblical responsibilities to love their neighbor as theirself. You know, the Good Samaritan, this is a child that's, you know, lying on the side of the road. You know, what is our biblical responsibilities? And, you know, just challenging biblically and giving an apologetic for rescue, mm-hmm. you know, to defend that this is a righteous cause and it's a righteous action and it is our responsibility. And so after we got done challenging them biblically, we actually did have the remains of a little baby girl. She was 4 months old. In mm-hmm. fact, I kept her in my house for actually a couple of years. Mm-hmm. We cared for this child.
Yes.
And what I would do, Father Frank, I would simply take her out. I'd put her in a little coffin. And that was my altar call. I said, to those of you who wonder whether or not this is right before God, I'm asking you to get out of your seat and come to this altar. And if you have any remaining questions, this baby will answer them for you.
And that is how I want to conclude this program. I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, you have any questions at all about what we're saying? You have any questions at all about the pro-life movement? You have any question at all about whether we're crazy or we're fanatics or we're going too far? We're going to shut up now. And you can ask these babies all the questions that you have and listen to them. Because they'll answer you. We're going to continue to show you some images of these children. Let them speak. Let them speak to your hearts. Anyway, I thank Reverend Rusty and Janet and all of those in this great and marvelous movement that we call the pro-life movement. Because we're committed to continue to let these babies speak all across America, all around the world. They've been killed. But they still have a voice. Listen to it and let it change your heart. God bless you.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the powerful booklet called Pro-Life Answers. This will equip you to answer any argument that abortion supporters throw your way. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. You will watch the testimonies of women and men who have lost children to abortion, but who have found healing through the blood of Christ and have proclaimed that healing on the public streets of America. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll include an autographed copy of Father Frank Pavone's book, Ending Abortion, Not Just Fighting It. This book will provide numerous insights into the pro-life cause, such as those you learn on these programs. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Welcome to our action segment, and Janet, today we're going to talk about using some very powerful tools to convince people of how devastating abortion is.
Well, as you know, Father, I co-founded the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, where the women and men who've experienced abortion speak publicly about their abortions, and they've written their testimonies. Now, we have those testimonies. I think it's the largest collection of post-abortion testimonies on our website. We have them in written form. And we have audio and video clips. Now, in giving their testimonies, you know, the men and women that do this, one of their hopes is that people will use their testimonies to help maybe to stop another girl from going down that road to have an abortion, to help maybe another person who's in denial to come to healing, and then finally to help convert people who somehow think abortion is okay for women.
So these testimonies that have been gathered and posted on our website, as you just said, are available for anyone to use in the pro-life cause. They don't even have to ask our permission to copy those texts or to email links to those files. These women and men who have given these testimonies have already given us full permission.
The permission's already been granted by the virtue of the fact that we have it posted up there. But now I want people to think creatively. You know, these people have had the courage to share their stories. But now how can you use their stories to help? Okay, first of all, in letters to the editor, you can quote from
them.
Right. You know, in students that are doing papers. Mm-hmm. You know, very often you're defending the case that abortion is wrong because it hurts people. You know, it kills the baby. But why not bring in another aspect why abortion is wrong? It's damaging men and women and families. And then you can quote from these testimonies.
It's so powerful to bring in the testimony in that instance, because now We're not just making an assertion. We're quoting someone's experience, and it's very, very difficult for even pro-abortion people to contradict a woman's experience with this.
That's right. Well, like we said, you know, experience trumps rhetoric. It's very often to talk about abortion rhetoric, you know, but it's the people who've experienced who are really going to help. Then in addition, when you have your pro-life discussions, you know, read enough of these testimonies that you can jot down some quick facts so that if you're in a discussion with someone, you can say, well, what do you know about abortion? What do you know about people's experiences? And then you can start quoting, you know, that these men and women have experienced after their abortion, abusing drugs, alcohol, becoming promiscuous, having multiple abortions. You know, you've got to take those testimonies and boil down the facts and be able to talk about them to help convert people.
Yes. Now, many people who are involved in the pro-life movement do lobbying at one point or another, where they're talking to lawmakers. Using these testimonies in those circumstances can be very useful as well. let's say, for example, a law on informed consent is being considered. Well, showing the testimony of somebody who says that she had grief and regret precisely because she didn't have the informed consent will be a persuasive factor in those efforts.
Yeah, as you read through the testimonies, you will see that so many of those women had said, if I had only known what I know now, mm-hmm. I would never have had the abortion. So many of those women were told it's just a blob of tissue. And you know what's the craziest thing? That in this society now, where we have 4D ultrasound, women are still being told, oh, you're so early on right now. You know, it's just you're barely pregnant, as they put it. It's just really a clump of cells. Clump of cells is the other term they like to use. So again, you can really cut through all these myths by quoting those testimonies.
And pastors to quote these testimonies in their sermons. What a marvelous way to bring their people to not only a deeper appreciation of how harmful abortion is, but to a deeper compassion for these men and women who have lost children.
That's right. You know, and then also, if you know someone who's had an abortion, who's gone through healing, and they want to share their testimony, encourage them to contact us at the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, because we constantly want to add to those testimonies and also make them available to as people who might want to speak in a church. You know, nothing is more powerful, and we know this from the women who've done it, is to come into a church if the minister gives permission and give that testimony in this pulpit.
Yes. Well, thanks, Janet. And brothers and sisters, you can provide links from your own websites to the pages where we have these testimonies. You can download and email those testimonies. Use them in any and every way you can to get out the truth that abortion harms women, harms families, harms our entire society, harms us all. But also use those testimonies to proclaim the mercy and the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what shines through amidst all the despair, amidst all the damage. The healing power of our Lord shines through. Let's use these testimonies always.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the powerful booklet called Pro-Life Answers. This will equip you to answer any argument that abortion supporters throw your way. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. You will watch the testimonies of women and men who have lost children to abortion, but who have found healing through the blood of Christ and have proclaimed that healing on the public streets of America. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll include an autographed copy of Father Frank Pavone's book, Ending Abortion, Not Just Fighting It. This book will provide numerous insights into the pro-life cause, such as those you learn on these programs. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.